Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, I think what's happening now, we turn it into a circus. We're going to spend all our time, instead of talking about racial equality and racial justice and economic justice, we spend all our time worried about who's kneeling and who's not kneeling, what things are being said on buses, what's being said on jerseys. I think we're missing the point. We need police reform. We need prison reform. And we need those are number two, one and two things we need to focus on. We need the cops. We need the good cops out there policing the bad cops. And like I say, we need police reform and prison reform. But the media, you know, we all got a job to do, and they're going to spend all their time on what's on somebody's jersey and what's on the buses and who's kneeling and who's not kneeling, and that's going to defeat the purpose. My concern is just turning this thing into a circus instead of trying to do some good stuff.
I love Charles Barkley, and if you've never watched Charles Barkley golf, you are missing out. Seriously. Anybody, I don't care if you've ever seen anybody golf before. When you watch Charles Barkley golf, you go, that's not how you golf.
I love his that's relationship right. with Shaq. They're yes. so funny together.
They're brothers.
Them. Yes.
Yeah, they have a great relationship. I go back and forth when we're talking about any type of sports. So we're going to have Kevin Wheeler on Thursdays officially now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the schedule.
Yes.
That's exciting. I don't want to perpetuate the problem that annoys me as a sports fan, which is to come on here and talk about who's kneeling. I don't give a crap who's kneeling. I think the solution here is to stop paying attention to it. Like, I think the story is to make it a non-story so that we can enjoy the sports that we want to watch. And if you turn it on and it's too distracting, you turn it off and you stop talking about it. And for me to make that point, I have to talk about it. So it's very conflicting. How do you do that? Am I my own worst enemy? It's hard to understand. I don't want to take note of who is taking a knee. I don't want to take note of who's not coming out of the dugout or out of the locker room or out onto the field for the national anthem. If I'm watching the sport and I despise the NFL now, and that is because of what they did to St. Louis, I remember probably it was the last season, I guess, that they were in St. Louis. They had the athletes coming out with their hands up because it was like the big Ferguson thing, hands up, don't shoot. And they had athletes coming out of there. And the truth was is that they were halfway out the door to begin with. So it was like, just take all of this away. I'm not interested in any of the drama, any of the baggage. Get it out of here, Kroenke. Go build your bajillion-dollar palace in L.A. and take all of the owner's money with you. I don't follow the NFL, so it's just gone. It's dead to me, which is probably the worst thing that can happen to the NFL is you cancel them out of your life. I'm not going to successfully cancel the NFL. The NFL is a behemoth of an industry. I'm just going to turn them off. I said after I saw some of these NBA players just poo-pooing their accommodations in the Disney World bubble, which are really nice accommodations. I mean, the level of luxury that they're living in may not be the mansions they're used to, but you're gonna be living the high life if you got to live the way these NBA players are gonna live. And you know, we're talking about what is gonna be on the back of their jerseys and what isn't gonna allow to be back on the back of their jerseys. And I said on Twitter, I wish I was an NBA fan so I could stop being an NBA fan, but I'm not, so I'm not gonna turn them on. So I don't have the NFL, I don't have the NBA. I'll watch college football, and I will be committed to watching Notre Dame because it makes my husband happy, and I love watching football, and I miss watching the St. Louis Rams. And I'm going to watch Cardinal baseball, which if there's drama that comes, like, I am going to protect my love and relationship with baseball from the extra drama. And just like everything else, the media does have the ability to inflate what is going on and the messages that people are saying. They do have the ability to make it worse. So I don't want to be part of that. You know, like, if we're going to talk about the Cardinals on this station, because I'm a massive fan, I'm going to want to talk about baseball. And if there are things going on around it, if it's not distracting from the game, I'm going to stick to the game.
Do you think that if we didn't put a spotlight on these players taking a knee or doing whatever that they feel is correct, that they would stop being activists about it, or would the world just move on? Would they stop? Would they be like, okay, well, I'm not getting attention, so I'm just going to stop being an activist on the field for it?
I raise small children in my other job as being a mother, and there is a difference between using your voice and your platform for a cause. And I commend anybody who takes the time out of their day to try to affect some positive change. And who am I to judge the change that somebody else wants to affect if they're spending their own personal time to do it? So if you have, like, if Colin Kaepernick, for instance, would have taken the time to bring attention to the idea of police reform, he could have done that in a way that wasn't on the field, wearing socks that had cops as pigs, and all of the other distraction that came out of it. I will not ever forget Jason Whitlock saying on this show, Colin Kaepernick doesn't say anything. Wasn't that Jason Whitlock?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He does, Kaepernick doesn't. He said it was laughable that he's the spokesman for anything, because the dude doesn't say anything. He used his platform on the field, and he sent a message that, in my opinion, didn't bring forth positive change in the way that Colin Kaepernick could have brought forward change. So, you know, I would say that use your voice, use your platform, use your, you know, for me personally, if you've got professional athletes who have a following on Twitter and they want to use that space to convey something, do it. It's your platform. If your employer is okay with you doing that, go ahead and do it. I don't have to follow you. I can follow you on the field, the court, in the arena, on the ice. I can follow you there and choose not to follow you on Twitter. And I'm a happy camper. Like, I don't need to know every single thing you stand for. I don't need to know every single thing that you support or you don't support. I mean, good grief. Like, if you stopped watching the NFL because you were pro standing for the anthem and it made you mad that they were kneeling, or there's a whole contingent of people who stopped watching the NFL because Colin Kaepernick didn't get a job. There are a lot of people who are like, NFL's out for me because they're racist and they're not employing Colin Kaepernick because they're racist. So this both ends of the spectrum, and I'm sure there's people who fall somewhere in the middle of that or on one of those camps. There's not many people who pay attention to the NFL who are like, ooh, what are you talking about? But if you're somebody who is going to utilize your platform for some sort of cause, and it's not going to affect my ability to consume your game, there are people who have questionably murdered people who play in the NFL. And nobody's like, I can't watch this. Look at who they employ. Mm-hmm. The rapists, people who are doing terrible, terrible things. And the NFL's like, but how fast do you run the 40? Mm-hmm. And then they get employed. So it's kind of selective to be like, I'm going to watch for this, but I draw the line here. They have a job to do, and the standards are incredibly low. When you think about what the NFL would, who they would employ if they thought that it would help them win. Mm. If Colin Kaepernick was going to help people win, I feel like he'd be employed. If he was too much of a distraction and a C-level quarterback, and they had an A and a B-level quarterback on the team, then I'm sorry. He doesn't, to me, it seems like the NFL has no standards about who the quality of the individual or the drama that goes behind hiring an individual if they feel like they're going to help them win, because winning is money and money is everything to the NFL. St. Louis really, really knows that. Ryan, did you want to say something?
Well, I wonder if this year we're going to see a continued erosion in just the interest in sports in general. I mean, I don't think they've done a good job of making themselves a lightning rod for political issues, because that just divides people. But because of coronavirus, which is not their fault at all, they've had to delay their seasons. A lot of people who maybe were on the bubble because of some of the social issue stuff, especially with the NFL, were, I don't know if I like the NFL. I like watching football, so I'm going to overlook that. But they were bothered by it. Now they've realized, maybe with that and other sports, is this as important as I thought it was? And plus, with the technology changes, sports have been behind the ball a little bit on streaming. They're catching up, but they've been behind.
Well, that's money, though. That's only money rooted,
right,
as well.
Those but are I'm just media just deals. Talking about from the fan perspective, they've been a little bit behind where the technology's moved. And I think there's been a bit of an erosion in just the interest in sports in general. I don't think coronavirus is going to help that much.
I don't think it's going to have an impact at all. I think that there's going to be an even heightened interest, because it's a distraction. It is anything but what we're dealing with right now. And you cannot, it is burdensome to venture into your social media, which is usually at this point in the year full of wedding pictures and bridal shower pictures and vacation pictures and baby pictures and new puppy pictures and Little League baseball pictures. There's none of that, because it's not happening right now, because everything has been postponed. Give me a distraction. I've just noticed lately that there have been more baseball pictures of my friends and their kids, and I'm like, the influx of them at first was kind of jarring, and then I was like, yeah, this is the way this used to be. Mm-hmm. But instead, now it's all like, this is why I wear my mask. And that godforsaken video that people keep sharing, showing people sneezing into the air and how disgusting it is when people have not been covering their sneezes for a long time. And now we really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then they show it when they're wearing the mask, and it still goes outside of the mask, which it to me is convincing. Like I said yesterday, if I have the opportunity to have somebody sneeze right in my face and put a mask on it and not have a mask on it, put five masks on it.
Endless
masks.
If you
masks. Like it, then you better put a mask on it.
Seriously, that and Andy's those videos, and then I've had enough with people, and we've brought this up before, saying the word spittle. I'm done with both of those things. Why is that the word choice?
I haven't seen the video. I've heard about the video of the sneeze. I have seen people sneeze into the sun, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
You are so gross.
Real question, folks. Can you smell sneezes? You ever smell a sneeze?
I have not.
I can smell.
I don't think
sneezes.
So. I can't smell even normal things very well, though.
I mean, it's not particularly like offensive, but it smells like breath. Like, not necessarily bad breath, but it smells like. It smells like this. I used to tell my family that I could smell sneezes, and they all mocked me, which is, just how I grew up, was just relentless mocking. I'm a little child and I'm oppressed. But one time I got in the car and I said to my dad, I go, did you sneeze? He goes, you're kidding me. I'm like, no.
And you were right?
Yeah. He just sneezed. But I was out of the car. Like, he had no way to disbelieve me anymore.
It's your spidey sense.
Can you smell rain coming? Are you one of those people?
I grew up in the country, so I know what rain smells like.
So that's a yes. Wow.
First you smell in the country, first you smell the displaced dirt that comes with the wind And that has a smell. Dirt has a smell. And any good country girl knows what dirt smells like, Katie. I'll show you sometime.
Yeah.
And then you smell the rain coming in, and there's nothing like that. That's a very, very pleasant smell.
Huh. Okay. Country.
Heightened senses with Annie Fry.
I need people to go, Ellen on her commented, wow, a superpower. Yeah, that's about it. I can smell sneezes. Comment on the Facebook page, the facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, the live that we have going on right now. See, Carla says, oh my gosh, Annie, I thought I was the only one. No, there are two freaks in the universe, Carla. It's you and me.
Wow. If there's mucus in the air, Annie's going to know.
Oh my God. That's another word. Ugh.
Is there anything grosser than a sneeze?
Yeah.
There is one thing that's grosser, and I'll have to tell you on break.
I don't want to know on break. If you can't tell me now, I don't want to know then.
I'll just say it. It's a loogie.
Oh, that's it? Oh, I can go much grosser,
Ryan,
Andy, I promise.
Ryan's like, I have a list. We'll start with number one. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. So good. Man, I looked on their website because they have a new album coming out. And I'm like, where's your tour? Where? I always kind of hope they don't come to St. Louis. I could be like, Jared, we have to go to Louisville. And then we go to a concert and it's a weekend and it's fun or whatever. But they don't have any tour dates. I thought I had heard that they had broken up, and then they're coming out with an album, and I'm like, okay. Fantastic.
You have seen them live, though, correct? Sorry.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I think about it, and I live in that moment. The music was perfect, and the set was perfect. It's like, it was my heaven. It was just
was it
so
here
amazing.
In St. Louis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the pageant?
No, I've never been to the pageant.
Oh, okay.
It was at the Stiefel. Is it called the Stiefel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, you know, name? For all the years
I go
that
to
I worked,
concerts so frequently, I'm like, I don't know. It was the one.
One. The years I worked in Christian music, you could probably name any artist. I'd know a lot about them, and I probably met most of them. That's one artist I never met in the 7 years I was in Christian music was Need to Breathe. And they were big at the time, too. Just never met them.
Dang, they're so good. Oh, my gosh. I love everything that they do. So I just had this up, and then I lost it. You want to read I don't know if you saw the story up, Ryan, about Maxwell or Katie. Did you say that?
Yes.
She did. Mm-hmm,
judge ahead, denies Katie. Bail for Ghislaine Maxwell. So that's good news.
That do we know news. That's how you say her first name?
I don't.
It's like
I've been
Ghislaine.
Saying Ghislaine, yeah.
I've or heard Ghislaine.
Julia Maxwell.
Yep, for that, for Jeffrey Epstein's mistress.
Man, the stakes are really high. We don't know what she knows. There's so much conversation surrounding what she knows, but we don't know that. We don't have it yet. And when Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, we potentially lost the access that we could possibly have to the truth. Now we have Maxwell, G. Maxwell, and maybe we have access to that again. If she comes up dead... First of all, it is possible she could try to kill herself. It is possible that she would want herself dead. I do believe it's possible that there are many other people who want her dead. How do we make sure that doesn't happen? And if she dies, then what? And if she has this treasure trove, she says she has copies of everything that Epstein had. If we know that she has that, I guess we assume she has it because she said so. Where is it? And get it. Like,
it's going to be weird
right
because we're going to have to cut. I mean, they are going to have to cut a pretty nice deal with her to get her to spill all that information, which makes you wonder, well, then what happens to her? I mean, she's a scumbag. So is she just going to walk just because she has a ton of information? I mean, a lot of times
she turns over everything else for everybody else and she walks. That's part of the deal. Other people could turn over what they know and get that deal. And I'm sure that if they wanted to step up and be a part of that, now's the time. Now's the time to get the deal before she does.
Yeah.
I want to say, where did that comment go? Gosh darn it. Oh, Brian Fish says I can smell sneezes too. So thank you for reevaluating on that issue. Jason said on Twitter, he said that they smell sweet, but it's a weird smell. It's a weird kind of sweet, and it's not a comforting kind. Ugh. And that's true.
It's not appetizing? Because sweet to me right now sounds
delicious.
To
you, it's probably appetizing. Yeah. But I'm not here to judge.
Oh, God.
I mean, if I walked into a room and smelled a sneeze, I'd be like, look, let's eat.
Ryan, you would know. You probably smelled sneezes and been like, oh, what scent are you wearing?
Where's the golden corral?
It's lovely. Makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. What is that?
Very unique. Oh man, you smell very mucusy, man.
Oh,
it's spittle. Wonderful.
Can I order for you?
Puff puff. Breath.
What are you gonna have to drink? You smell terrific. Like I just sneezed on you.
I have never heard that, Annie. I know a lot about you, and I did not know that about you. And I have never heard that from anyone else.
Probably where I should draw the line. There's nothing else you need to know.
That's it.
It's a weird Ask Me Anything segment. Usually these are for Fridays.
Yes.
Tony Colombo is out this week, by the way. So we're working on some guest hosts for some of Tony's segments. I'm looking forward to getting some exciting people in here to fill in for Tony, maybe tomorrow and Friday.
So. You know, I'm formulating a theory here. I wonder, because you have super smell and you've talked
smell.
About, you do, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You have super smell. We've established that.
I have super smell.
So one thing we know
is that
Annie has super smell.
My smell is super.
So that's the end of the theory. No.
And there's that.
We have a theory. It's something we know.
It's based on one fact.
Sounds and
I've
like
added
climate
nothing
change.
To it. You also have super hearing because you pick up on mouth noises like crazy.
I have a sensory issue.
Is it all senses though?
And taste.
Do you have all super senses?
Like,
are your spidey senses tingling?
Can you see through walls?
Yeah, I don't like what I see either. I have really good eyesight. I've never worn contacts. I mean, I don't know that I have super vision. I can't, like, cut glass with my eyes or anything.
I don't know. If you've never had glasses.
Let me focus really hard. No, it's not working.
Ah, well, you moved me.
No, I honestly do think, like, I have this working theory that I have some sort of neurological weirdness because I get migraines. I've gotten migraines since I was in fifth grade, maybe about 10 years old. And I've formulated my combination to trigger a migraine. First thing is that eating has to be off. I could be working really hard and have skipped breakfast and lunch. And then maybe I get something fast and maybe kind of crappy for dinner or whatever, just so that I can eat something because I'm really hungry. Or maybe I had back-to-back crap meals or whatever. So the eating has to be off. It doesn't have to be like a lot of bad food, but just not normal eating habits. They've changed. That's one thing. Lack of sleep, a combination of lack of sleep and bad eating, dehydration, and... Well, okay, so there's five things: dehydration, hormones, and then stress. But the stress is what puts it on the table. Like once I'm in a high anxiety situation, which I have found myself in over the course of years for varying reasons, either they're personal reasons or they're professional reasons, like over the course of my going on, 15 years of being in radio, there have been some very stressful situations that have presented themselves that set the tone for me, like on a day-to-day basis, to have that anxiety burden. Like everybody knows what that's like.
For
You've
sure.
got somebody in your family who's sick. Maybe it's a happy anxiety. Maybe it's like you're planning a wedding and it's stressful, but you're excited to get married. But it's a constant balance of, did I do this? Did I do that? How am I going to pay for this? I need to get the money to that. So the anxiety level is increased. And then if you add in like two more of those factors, whether it's hormones, hydration, sleep, or eating habits, to be really off, I'll get a migraine. So, and I've learned how to like, the anxiety thing, being calmer, is why I go get massage every other week. Because when I keep my anxiety in check, I don't get migraines anymore. And that's, I will get them every once in a while, but maybe twice a year instead of twice a month, which is huge improvement if you're a migraine sufferer. Mm-hmm. But I do think, going back to the senses thing, like I have my own working theory that I have heightened senses, more heightened than normal people. I will say, I'll call myself
us
abnormal
averages,
in that.
Yeah.
Oh no! That's not flattering to me. That's a.
Oh, no,
I'm putting myself out here where normal people exist, right here. I think that my heightened senses to sound, to smell, and also my eyesight too. Like I'll have a sensitivity to light, as well. That can if I've got those other things going on, I lose vision when I get migraines, like
Ugh,
completely.
Gosh, that sounds.
Do you see stars and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Aura. I lose my the first thing that happens to me when I get I'm starting to get a migraine is like 30 to 45 minutes before it happens. Like if I were looking straight at you, Ryan, like where I'm looking, it'd be like a pinpoint. That would there just be a dot. It's like when you look at the sun and then you look away and you it takes you a while for your eye to readjust because of the influx of light. So it'll start like the pinpoint right at your face and then it'll slowly expand to where I can't see your whole face. And then it goes out to where I can start to see the center again, but then I lose my peripheral vision. Mm. And by the time I get my vision back, then the headache sets in. So I have like 30 to 45 minute heads up to medicate myself and go get in a cold, dark room, washcloth on my forehead, an ice pack on the back of my neck, under the covers. Everybody knows to
evacuate the premises.
Yeah.
So with your super senses then, have you mm-hmm. considered that your migraines may be messages from either the future or another dimension?
I am now.
Because it sounds like when you start to see things in
sometimes
a tunnel,
if you are messages from another dimension.
I might be. Just,
your voice actually is the voice I hear in my head when I have migraines.
Yeah. Listen to what I'm about to say. This is from the future.
I have to tell you
your voice
something.
Is much more soothing than a migraine.
Biden is having his second part
Speaking
released.
Speaking of migraines.
And his second part released to Build Back Better. Build Back Better,
Biden.
Oh, this was a phased plan?
It's the second phase in his plan. And he calls for a $2 trillion investment in clean energy. I am trying to figure out what Build Back Better means.
It's awfully not catchy.
Why
it's the
is
opposite
that?
Of catchy.
Build back the economy? Like to build the economy back better than it was before? Fat chance. Fat chance doing better than Donald Trump himself did. Yeah, I don't know. I think that what we can relegate this to is that the Biden camp really likes it's the letter B.
Yeah,
I love these big heads.
This is not to be offensive to the Biden campaign, but but is every single person that
you can
is
be offensive
his...
if you only speak in B words.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not going to do that. Is every single person working with Biden on his campaign an 80-year-old man? Because I'm trying to figure this out.
The young perspective in there.
I'm trying to figure this out here.
Well, why would he release the second phase of his Build Better whatever plan? And it's all about green energy, as if that's what everybody's thinking about right now.
$2 trillion, folks. $2 trillion that he wants to put towards climate change.
Yeah, gas
mitigation.
Prices are too high right now.
Top of mind.
Well,
guys.
We're not going to need gas. We don't have to worry about gas
That's
prices.
That's right.
Gas is going to be free, and you're not going to need it for anything. Joe Biden says so. I made that up.
Especially when you can travel through your mind, like Annie, into different dimensions and times.
Almost there.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I don't know, because I don't even know what we're talking about now, so how would I know what we're going to talk about then? Don't go anywhere. Or do. I don't care. We'll be right back. This is a fun song. Some of it's kind of weird, but I really like it. It's got, I always got to try to talk at the right times to make it seem more appropriate for my 4-year-old who's probably listening and
dancing.
She's a good dancer. That girl, she dances. She can't. She hears music like this. She can't contain herself. She's got, I know this is radio and not everybody can see this, but this is her. She goes, Mommy, I got a new move. So I turn around in the car and she's sitting in her car seat, which is not a booster seat. It's like still the 5-point harness thing. And she's sitting back there and she just shimmies her shoulders back and forth, back like, and she doesn't even smile. She's like,
serious.
About it. It's so bizarre and so funny. And it reminds me that third-born gets away with so much. The baby gets away with so much more.
Truth.
Than the ones that come before. Like, at this point, you're like, you're fine. You'll be fine. Just do your thing, girl.
But where does she get that from? Where does she get
Jared,
that
obviously.
From?
Jared's always like, look at my new moves.
Look, Annie.
Annie, look at this new move I made up.
No.
Speaking of which... Are we to a point in our evolution as people that there are no more new dance moves?
No, you should see Evelyn.
Okay.
And there is a thing right now called TikTok, Ryan, and they are
that's what I mean.
Making
like
dance moves left and right.
But are they finally exhausted? Like, we've done it all. TikTok is pretty much the epitome of dancing, right?
I don't TikTok.
Yeah. I don't either because...
Does one TikTok?
I don't know.
Good question, Katie.
I think so. I don't have it, but I think you... One yes, might. I think you can TikTok.
One might.
We're the young state. We're the young show on this, yeah, this station. Yeah. This is where you come for what the kids are saying. Oh, man.
I was dancing.
This is a young millennial mother of three, which is how people always describe me. And we're like, does one TikTok? I do not know if one TikToks. It's like, one might TikTok. I'm not sure. I hear the 20-somethings may TikTok.
If one chooses to.
I was dancing so much on TikTok, as you know. Like, my TikTok was constant new dancing.
Yeah, China knows.
But China banned me. Yeah, that was my point, is that they banned me. I was going to ban them, but they said no more.
You did have some pretty sweet dance moves, Ryan.
I did, yeah. I'm sorry, my foot is caught in my headphone wire.
You could have just fixed it. You could have just handled it. I'm glad you didn't, and so now we know. Katie, you said you had something to talk about. Can we? I don't care what it is. Yes. Let's do that.
It's a little bit more of pop culture, but Chance the Rapper and Kanye West are very good friends. And Chance actually came out in a series of tweets on Monday sounding like he was supporting Kanye West and his presidential run if he chooses to actually run. And he also simultaneously was dissing Joe Biden. And he said this in a tweet. And I'm going to read it slowly because I'm sure I'm going to have to filter.
So that I can understand it.
Yes. And for and for my two friends. And y'all out there trying to convince me to vote for Joe Biden, he tweeted. His subsequent tweets had Chance questioning whether we are in favor of the two-party system and making a blanket accusation of racism against an unknown group before fully explaining his pro-Yeezy anti-Biden stance. He went on to say, are you more pro-Biden or anti-Yee and why? I get that you all want to reply that you're just trying to get Trump out. But in this hypothetical scenario where you're replacing Trump, can someone explain why Joe Biden would be better? And
you're not supposed to ask the questions. I'll tell you what. Joe Biden saying, if you don't vote for Biden, you ain't black, has reverberated. I think that that could be, we'll see, but I think that that could be one of the telltale signs of how this election ultimately goes. If Trump wins the way I feel like Trump is going to win, because intellectually speaking, I think Donald Trump should absolutely win this election. Joe Biden is a terrible candidate. Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. And Joe Biden is more Hillary Clinton than Hillary Clinton is. Joe Biden is the old white guy version of Hillary Clinton. That's like the opposite direction the Democratic Party is supposed to be. supposed to be going. I just thought Ryan was like super intensely thinking about what I had to say.
What, did I get frozen again?
Oh my gosh, Ryan.
But I, you know, like when you consider that Chance the Rapper is coming out and asking the question might still result in I'm voting for Joe Biden because Donald Trump is the worst thing that continued to happen to this country. So at the end of the discussion that Chance the Rapper is putting out there, it could still end in a Joe Biden vote for Chance or for anybody else. But they are not supposed to be asking the question. And Joe Biden is the one that put the question out into the conversation, which is a huge mistake. I did also see Terry Crews, which if you are a Twitter person, follow me at Annie Fry Show. But Terry Crews on Twitter is lighting it up. He is a must follow right now. If you don't know who Terry Crews is, he's an actor. He's really funny. He's really ripped. But he is out there speaking freely. And, you know, I don't know that he's ever said anything positive about Donald Trump.
Right.
I don't think he's ever come out and said, like, I'm a Trump supporter. I don't know that he would even vote for Donald Trump. But he has come out and, you know, basically to sum up, said all lives matter without saying the politically charged phrase "all lives matter." You know, he has said that. I think he's like spoken about defunding the police, like that's not where we need to go, and there are good police officers and there are bad police officers. Like, he's spoken with just this immense heap of common sense, and he's getting called out by people, including Chris Cuomo, who wouldn't let him, or not Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, although maybe Chris Cuomo too, Don Lemon, who kept cutting him off because Terry Crews wasn't saying the talking points. Terry Crews was thinking on his own for himself and responding in a way that was not Don Lemon approved, which what even has to be Don Lemon approved. And now he's on Twitter, and Terry Crews tweeted something at Chance the Rapper when this was going on. And Terry Crews said, "I endorse Chance the Rapper." And Chance responded back with the F word.
Oh.
So then Terry Crews was like, "Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't." He deleted the tweet and he was like, "Never mind." Like, basically, it was one man saying, "I like the way you think," and the other one being like, "I don't want to be associated with what you think." And then there was this separation of the two. But there are people out in the Twitter sphere right now that are reacting to the Black Lives Matter movement, the defund the police movement. And they are asking questions that were not being asked publicly before in that space. It's a really encouraging thing. And often through tough times and hard times, you have to ask yourself some questions. Because when you're looking around the world today, you're going, "I don't recognize this place." You start asking yourself questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terry Crews tweeted out something just yesterday that was, he tweeted out something about Frederick Douglass, was talking about how Frederick Douglass like had to continue to act as though he was a slave of some sort. And I retweeted it and he liked my retweet.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Cool. Yeah,
and then also this one's for you, Ryan. I tweeted something back at David Spade the other night and he liked it. I'm like,
no kidding.
A Terry Crews and a David Spade at the same time. I'm pretty excited.
Wow, that's
that.
Huge. Yeah, what Terry Crews is incredibly funny. Well, one of two things is happening with Terry Crews. Either because he is not backing down. He is out there saying exactly what he thinks and he's taking the heat and he's just rolling with it, which is awesome. So either he is an island and he is standing really strong, which you have to compliment him for, or what he's doing, there are a lot of people coming to him privately and saying, "Terry,
he's got support."
Exactly.
He said, the tweet that I retweeted that Terry Crews had said was, "Frederick Douglass had to resist white abolitionists who were afraid his clarity of speech would harm the movement. They actually encouraged him, since he was a former slave, to, quote, act and talk like a slave, end quote, to garner sympathy. He refused." That's what I retweeted and he liked it. But there are other things that he has done and said where he, like you're saying, Ryan, he's gone all in. Like you watch people who are speaking freely like this and you're like, wow, look at this. And then 48 hours later, you see that they've backed down, they've clarified, they've walked it back.
Drew Brees.
Yes, the worst. Yeah. It's so deflating to see that. Terry Crews tweeted out on July 11th, quote, "Black people need to hold other black people accountable." And then and that was a quote from himself on CNN's Don Lemon interview. And he dates it Monday, July 6, 2020, 8:45 p.m. Eastern. He quoted himself. And I said, that is the all in, the double down. I am not backing away from this. And it is so rare and it is so welcome. Please, 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 more of this. Speak up and stand up with truth, your conviction, and don't back down. You can be kind. You can be respectful while you do it. You don't have to back down to the mob. But it is a mob, and they are going to be very aggressive. We'll do it together here. At Annie Fry Show, if you want to follow me on Twitter. Thank you to everybody who subscribed to the Annie Fry YouTube page. We have surpassed 1,000 subscribers. That's super exciting. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.